China. We're talking to China. We're not ready to make a deal. So we'll see what happens. But you know, we've been hurt by China for 25, 30 years. Nobody's done anything about it. And we have no choice but to do what we're doing. It's working out very well, as you know. We called them on manipulation, and they brought their numbers back. And they brought it back rapidly, and they were able to do that because they manipulate. But so it's called monetary manipulation. Not good. But what happened and what's happening with China now, we have an open dialogue. We'll see whether or not we keep our meeting in September. If we do, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. But it's time that somebody does what we're doing. And I said the American taxpayer is not paying for it. We had a big day in the stock market yesterday, but the American taxpayer is not paying for it. What China is doing is by depressing their currency and by pouring tremendous amounts of money into their system, they're paying for it. The prices have not gone up. So when the in fact, in some cases, they've gone down because the devaluation plus the money supply, the amount of money that they pour in, which is a form of manipulation, has more than compensated for an increase in price. So as I said, and everybody questioned it, in the case of China, the tariffs have been amazing. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars. Now, China's had their worst year in 35 years now. It was in 26 years, but now it's in 35 years. I want them to do well, but as of this moment, they're having the worst year that they've had in many, many years, in decades. And really, we're just bringing the system back into order. We have all the cards. We're doing well. Our country is doing fantastically well. You look at Europe, they've got problems. In fact, the biggest problem we have is the fact that a lot of other continents, frankly, but a lot of other countries are not doing well. But we're doing great, and we continue to do great. Our companies are poised. They have a lot of cash. Our system is beautiful.
The NRA has been a strong supporter and ally of yours going all the way back to the campaign. Can you take a position at odds with the NRA on background checks?
I think I could, but I don't think I'll be there. I have a great relationship with the NRA. They supported me very early, and that's been a great decision they made. We have Justice Kavanaugh. We have Justice Gorsuch, and they feel very strongly about the Second Amendment. The NRA's made a great decision in supporting me, and nobody else would have won, aside from everything else. I have a very good relationship. I have a great relationship with the NRA. I have a lot of respect for the people at the NRA, and I have already spoken to them on numerous occasions, And frankly, we need intelligent background checks, okay? This isn't a question of NRA, Republican, or Democrat. I will tell you, I spoke to Mitch McConnell yesterday. He's totally on board. He said, I've been waiting for your call. He is totally on board. I spoke to senators that in some cases people are friends of mine, but pretty hardline senators. Hardline, and when I say that in a positive way. Hardline on the Second Amendment. And they understand we don't want insane people, mentally ill people, scared people, dangerous people. We don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people. I think that the Republicans are going to be great and lead the charge along with the Democrats. I spoke yesterday to Nancy Pelosi. We had a great call. I spoke to Chuck Schumer. We had a great call. And Chuck Schumer in particular, that's what China wants. I said, I can't believe it. You actually like something that I'm doing. He said, not like, love. So Chuck Schumer is he's great on the China situation, which we are winning and winning big. And China wants to do something, but I'm not ready to do anything yet. 25 years of abuse, I'm not ready so fast. So we'll see how that works out. But on background check, we have tremendous support for really common sense, sensible, important background check.
Time goes by.
I'm different, but I think the Senate is different. I think other people in the House are different. I think the people that maybe had their arm up a couple of years ago, maybe they feel differently. I don't think I feel any differently. I think with a lot of success that we have, I think I have a greater influence now on.
Good evening, everybody. We are listening to President Trump speak from the White House lawn on Friday, and we will start the prayer call in 5 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us.
We don't want people that are mentally ill, people that are sick. We don't want them having guns.
Who does? I don't have a question, but if you have to support that, that's
what we'll see where the NRA will be. But we have to have meaningful background checks. You know, in the case of in both cases, it's possible they wouldn't have been caught. But in the one case, we also have to talk about age. Because he did things that were very, very bad in Ohio, in Dayton. He did some things that were really bad. His school knew about it. When he turned 18, everything was expunged. We're going to have to get rid of that. Because you can't have that barrier. If they would have had that barrier, they would have been able to see. But because he was a minor, it was just fun. We're going to have to get rid of that barrier. I think a lot of really meaningful things on background checks will take place, including red flags, including a lot of other very, very important items. And the Republicans are looking at it very seriously. And I really believe that the NRA, I've spoken to them numerous times, they're really good people. They're great patriots. They love our country. We love our country so much, and frankly, I really think they're going to get their own.
When you talked to Wayne Lockyer, you talked to him several times. Did he warn you that background checks could cost you politically? And did you say to him, forget politics, we have to do something now?
I had a good talk with Wayne, and I like Wayne, and you know, they supported me very early, far earlier than anybody thought possible, especially me not being a politician. And that support has paid off. We now have two Supreme Court justices that are phenomenal. Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and I mean, they're phenomenal people. And they're big believers in the Second Amendment, which Wayne was also, and which I am. There's been no president that feels more strongly about the Second Amendment than I do. However, we need meaningful background checks so that sick people
call in just a minute. I'm allowing another minute for folks to come in. Thank you for your patience. We'll begin the prayers in just a minute.
And this serves as a very good deterrent. If people come into our country illegally, they're going out. They're not coming in illegally and staying. Be a bad lord. They may get in, although we're doing very tough, but they may get in. But it doesn't matter because they're going out. And when people see what they saw yesterday, and like they will see for a long time, they know that they're not staying.
On time, the president.
Fellow prayer members and patriots, welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Sunday night, August 11th. Great to be with you. I'm Scotty Sachs, one of the founders and directors of Prayers for 45. Thank you all for joining us tonight. You, the great patriots, are united in prayer tonight. You're the reason we do these calls. The power of group prayer is undeniable, so you are greatly appreciated for being part of our prayer posse tonight. We've come together in union and fellowship to praise and pray our great president and all those around him that he trusts and relies on to execute what we refer to as the plan. It's a broad-based plan. It covers many bases, including some of the obvious ones like draining the swamp and resetting the rule of law, which we will pray for in our second prayer. So as we pray tonight, let's do so with our greatest sense of conviction and trust for the plan, and let's send some love and support to the president and all of his allies. And who better to do that to lead off our first prayer than Kimberly, if she's here. Kimberly may be running a little late, might move to our second prayer and reverse our order tonight. Let's do that. Let's not waste any time. Betty, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I spoke with Kimberly earlier, so I know she intended to join us, so we'll give her some time to get here. We'll just reverse the order. We'll ask you to pray for the reset of the rule of law. There's so much that we could talk about surrounding that, but let's do so tonight with you leading the prayer, and I appreciate you jumping in.
No problem. I was moved this evening when I was thinking about law, and I looked up 1 Corinthians 10:23 that says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. This is Paul talking. And then it says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And so that really struck me because I kept thinking about going back to the rule of law and what that really means. And I realized it's really, Scotty, more than just the Ten Commandments, because that's just following the letter of the law. But I was really moved that we've got to, in order to really have a reset of the rule of law, people have to understand what is behind the law, what is the intention of the law, why did God give those rules at all? Because he cares about goodness and righteousness and justice and doing what's best for your fellow man and putting yourself last and walking humbly. And so that's kind of where I want our prayers to go tonight, is to be really thinking about who God is and what he intended with his law. And if we have that spirit of God, adopt that spirit of God, it would really correct everything, and we could reset our society, not just our laws, but, you know, how we all treat each other and how we even make our laws and how we work towards each other and for the greater good. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are so cognizant of the fact that you are our creator and that we owe our allegiance, our very lives to you. And yet, Lord, you created this earth. Adam and Eve sinned. They lived in a perfect setting, and yet in their humanity, they turned against you. And the world has been a mess ever since. And you bring us through revivals, and you bring us through dark times, and you bring us into the light, Lord, and our land has gone through a very, very dark time, and we are just now coming up, and we are so grateful. But there is still so much work to be done, Lord. We put before you that we know that your law has been written. We put before you your word, which tells us the Ten Commandments, Lord. We pray over our leaders and our citizens and our judicial system. We ask that they would put your commandments first, that you have written these laws on our hearts and that you would continue to write them on the hearts of men. All of us, Lord, all of our citizens and leaders, the judicial system, our law enforcement, that they would all uphold your commandments and treat them as sacred. And help us also live by them in everything that we do, the judges in the court system, the officers as they're dealing with people, teachers and parents and employees, that we would all live by them and act upon them, that every word and deed in this land would be conformed to the intent of your laws, which are right about justice and righteousness and integrity, honesty. And we thank you already for the justice we've seen, that there have been judges exposed, corporate CEOs, congressmen and women that have been replaced or retired. There have been abuses in the three-letter agencies that have been exposed, lawsuits on behalf of the innocent. There have been cabinet members replaced, Lord, and thousands of indictments. And then the last, Epstein's heinous crimes. There have been shootings and people caught. And we don't even know what's going to happen now, but that he's gone, Lord, and he's not going to be able to out everybody. I pray they've got all of the evidence that they need. I feel in my heart that that was just something that that he was killed off to be silenced because he was going to expose so many top officials. But I know and trust, I trust, Lord, that we've got it all, that our government has it all, and that we are going to be able to continue to expose it, Lord. Restore law and order. Expose all of the evil, Lord, and bring it to light, and help our communities and all of our citizens to be able to endure the truth that is to come. And I pray, Lord, that you would confine and bind up any forces that want to oppose exposing the truth in this land, Lord, that you would confound all of their tricks and all of their schemes, and that your will would be done. And, Lord, in order for us to return to the rule of law, Lord, we've got to be more than just about obeying the letter of the law, because that's just wanting to, you know, tick off a little list, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the matter, and that's who you are. It entails, Lord, obedience and the love for the spirit of the law, that you are a God of goodness and justice and righteousness, mercy and love, and that's what's at the heart of you. You are the beginning and the end of the law, Father. Your word says in Micah, you said, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you except to be just and to love and to diligently practice kindness and compassion and to walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness? So we thank you for your word, Lord, and that's what this land has to be about, not about self-gain, because that is what's going wrong with so many in our Congress. You see them owning things that they should never be able to afford to own. So they're having a pay-to-play scheme, Lord. That's what's happening. It's been greed, and so they are not loving their fellow man. They're lovers of themselves. They are prideful, and they are being owned. And so I pray that you would begin to expose all of the abuses, all of the lies, all of the secrets. People are being blackmailed because they've been forced to do things or have done things that they would be embarrassed, that the world would know. And Lord, you just begin to expose that, so that all of that money, the money trail would dry up and there wouldn't be any money left anymore to be able to bribe anybody to do what's wrong. And so we count on you, Lord. If we are going to act compassionately and be a people about of compassion, we need that in order to be able to know how to rightly deal with what's happening at the crisis. We don't want to just have it be a tick mark. We want to do what's right by everyone. And so we need your wisdom, and it has to be based on you. And so, Father, we ask that you would restore the rule of law, but the spirit of the law, that we as a people would embrace what is behind, that we would be a people about mercy and justice, and that we would not tolerate all of these sins and all of this evil, that it would be nauseous in our mouths, and that we would want to turn away from it, that we would want to get rid of it. So clean our land, Lord, by your powerful hand and outstretched arm. You alone can do it, and you are doing it, and we praise you for that. And so we rely on you, your wisdom, your strength, your power, your angels, to come down here and rid this land of the evil that has permeated every square inch, and that you would clean it up, Lord. Clean up our land. This land belongs to you. And so, Father, we give it back to you in faith. We ask you these things. Amen.
Betty Fabulous, as my good friend from college who grew up in the inner city of Chicago used to say, word up. That was just amazing. Thank you for jumping in. I know you are a person that believes in the word, and you practice what you speak of every day, and I appreciate you jumping in and filling in for Kimberly, and we'll send a shout-out and a prayer to her. I'm sure she's fine. Must have gotten tied up. So I want to...
A couple nieces, Scotty. She had a couple nieces that she was expecting to come, and I don't know whether they were coming in. She might have been distracted by that.
I would imagine so. You know, she leads our first prayer every Sunday and Thursday. She does an amazing job, and I'm sure she's fine. We'll move on to our second prayer and keep her in mind. Before we move on, I just want to remind everybody we're now creating content and posting articles and editorials on the prayersfor45.com website. Our content complements our prayers very nicely. We're trying to create content that obviously is synergistic with what we do here. Our first article has been posted last week, the 5 reasons President Trump will be reelected. This coming week, we will post an article that I am co-authoring, The Socialist Left That Attacks Our Gun Rights Gives Us All the Ammunition We Need to Protect the Second Amendment. Why the left hatred is why we need to bear arms. Sadly, we cite examples of this in the article. I'll just give you a quick preview. We've all heard about this movie, The Hunt, although it's been canceled. We know the theme of the movie was the so-called elites hunting deplorables like us. We had an incident at Mitch McConnell's house where they went to protest, and a woman was captured on video saying, "Stab him in the heart." We can't forget the Steve Scalise shooting, the Republican baseball practice. They were practicing for a baseball game, and there was a shooting on the baseball field. We all remember Steve Scalia. Is it Scalia or Scalise?
Scalia.
Wasn't there a Justice Scalia? And I think he's Steve Scalise.
That's true.
Yeah, he's Steve
Scalise. You might be right.
I mixed the two names up. Anyway, he was shot. Thank God he is recovered. And he's got all his wits about him. I have recently been told by told by a prominent LGBTQ influencer. This is not to pick on that community. I'm just citing his identification, what he identifies with as a leader. And he told myself and a couple other conservatives on a Twitter thread that all Trump supporters will ultimately and eventually be exterminated. So this is all at the very heart of the rule of law and why our Second Amendment, our forefathers protected us from tyrannical governments, and to protect ourselves, I believe, had Hillary won, she would have followed the Australia model. They went door-to-door and collected guns in Australia. Some of us on this call have some friends in the country that are very, in hindsight, kicking themselves for surrendering their guns. But this is all by way of saying we are here, and we are here to pray and to bring this rule of law reset into focus. And in light of that, we are now trying to write some complimentary content. So don't forget to check that out on our site. I also wanted to mention our merchandise on the website. We have T-shirts and mugs. I want to give one away tonight. So Betty, if you would pick a number between 1 and 10, I'd appreciate it. Just shout it out.
2.
2. All right. Oh, ironically, this couldn't have been any better. The winner, the second caller tonight, was Diane, and she's going to lead us in our second prayer. So, Diane, I will see to it that you get your mug or a T-shirt, Diane, whichever one you want. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm just tickled to death, so I would love a mug. Thank you.
Yes, I have to have full disclosure here. This was not rigged. We did not rig this. Diane, second caller, and Betty picked number 2, so you guys are in sync here.
Thank you,
Diane. You can pay me better, Diane.
Okay.
Well, Diane, the floor is yours.
Scotty, I just want to say that I think I'm going to pray for, of course, the safety of President Trump and his family and all that he's involved in. But you know, this movie has the idea of it, the representation that it has for those of us, what we call, they call deplorables, the continual harassment of, the people standing in our place makes it hard. And I think, I don't know about you all, but this movie was really disheartening to me. The fact that it's canceled, okay, but the fact that it's even out there and we are being unjustly accused of being the ones that are the deplorables, the ones that are the ones, stirring up the hate speech, stirring up the divisiveness between races and, all the rest of it. And I don't know, Scotty, but do you ever feel like sometimes the phrase that we've grown so to our core, which is trust the plan, do you ever feel like a sheeple yourself sometimes when you try to tell yourself to just trust the plan, waiting for all this to unfold?
Well, absolutely. As you know, Diane, I've spent my entire working career post-college, 36 years now, in the mainstream media. I've done everything one can do on the broadcast side, television and radio side of the business. And I'm an absolute sheeple. The fact that I'm awake now and my eyes are wide open and I now understand the system I have built a business within, it is very humbling to know that I've been part of the system, funding the system. I have given lots of money to the TV and radio networks that we now know are fake news. But be that as it may, I believe in humbling myself to know I've been a sheep, part of the sheeple. My only thought these days is to trust the plan. If we don't trust the plan, if there's no plan, my father, who was a United States Marine, always imparted to me that successful people always have a plan. They always have a plan of action. There's no way this president and these patriots have come this far without a plan. So I do trust the plan with my eyes wide open and choose not to be. We are sheep no more, Diane. Let me end on that note.
That's perfect. And that's what I want to also draw into this prayer is just encouragement for the hearts of those that get so discouraged by the quote, trusting the plan, that is sometimes very difficult to do when we're absorbing ourselves in all of this information. Some of it's disinformation. We're trying to, sort out what's real, what's not real. And I can only imagine the amount of data that we're receiving, what it must be like for President Trump and how inundated he has been with such factual information regarding the corruptness of all that's around him. So with that, I just open it up in prayer and say, thank you, God, that we can trust you. Thank you, God, that we know that you put us here for a reason at this perfect time in the place where we are, being supportive of a president that can only be anointed by you. And we thank you for that. As difficult as it is on days when we feel just unjustly accused and frustrated by the level of daggers and just ugliness that's coming out from the people around us, Lord, that we don't have any ill against them. We just want justness to come to our land. And we know that's going to come through you in your perfect timing. So encourage our hearts, Lord, as we walk through this day to day, as we get hung up on a number that is going to be the day that everything's revealed, that we get hung up on a report that we've been waiting for, and then we're disappointed by the report. So, Father God, just give us the ability to put our eyes on you, look towards you for the awareness and the clarity that you are in control and that you have the greatest plan of all, which is to restore our nation and to do this through a leader like Trump. And we just thank you for him. We thank you for his family. We ask you to bind them together in hearts, minds, and soul, more so than they ever have been in the past, that they continually have each other's back, that they pray together, that they support each other, and that they just really are mindful of the people that don't want them to succeed, Lord. And we know that you are well into their environment, into their home, into their hearts, and we just give you all the glory and thanks for that. Keep them safe, keep them aware, and keep them ever so focused on you, Lord God. And it's through this week that we are coming into that many have great anticipatory hopes for this week. We ask you to keep us real in our own hearts, remembering, focus on you, and all will be good. We thank you this in your precious son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane and Betty, for leading our prayers tonight. Much appreciated. Mm-hmm. Awesome prayers. These Sunday and Thursday nights are quite grounding for me, and I'm sure for everybody on the call. So thank you so much to our prayer leaders. We are 29 people on the call tonight, and I wanted to ask everybody for a big favor. Before our next call on Thursday, or perhaps a week from today, Sunday, please bring somebody to our prayer call. Please ask somebody to join us, somebody new, because our group of 29 tonight could have easily been 50 to 60 people by spreading the word. That's how we're growing. We have grown. We're celebrating, I believe, this week will be our actual anniversary of our 1 year of our first prayer call. And when we started, we had 8 or 10, and I think maybe 12 people at most on the call. So we have grown by word of mouth, and we appreciate that and hope you will continue to help us grow this great prayer community. The power of group prayer has been studied infinitum, and there's no question as to the impact that the power of group prayer has. So if you'd all be so kind to bring somebody to the call, and we'll appreciate you helping us to continue to grow this community.
Now, keep in mind there's probably more than one person on the call, Scotty.
Pardon me?
I'm sure that number is bigger than 29, because a lot of couples will listen together.
Well, that's a great point, and so we could, for all I know, we are almost 60 people, because yes, perhaps everybody on this call has someone sitting with them. So good
there
point.
Or a more than one person, a group of people. So, yeah, we are bigger than just 29, for sure.
Betty, with you, the glass is not only half full, it's always overflowing.
That's right. That is
I love it. Diane and Betty, you guys are awesome. Two of the most positive people. I just got a text from one of our prayer leaders who said his wife is on the call with us. So you're so right, Betty. We are probably,
yeah,
we're
bunch
probably
of my friends
many
said
more
so, yeah,
people. Well, Betty and Diane, anything else you want to add before we go to our gratitude prayer?
To keep the faith. Just keep the faith.
Yeah.
Simple and to the point.
Yeah, that's
simple
it.
And to the
it.
Point. All right. Well, let's move to our closing prayer. I just got another text that perhaps we actually have a party line going here with many, many more people than I even know. But we are 29 people that either called in or are on the internet. So thank you to those who have brought somebody with them. And as a group tonight, Lord, we devoted ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and in turn, you will show us the light at the end of this day and every day. Thank you, God, for the harvest. We are thankful for what we have and for what we will receive. In the spirit of thankfulness, we pray with a very grateful heart. Your loving presence provides for our every need. You make the rough way smooth. Thank you for your vigilant care for all of us here on this call. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening our judgment, the judgment that turns us away from pursuing courses that may be unwise and unfulfilling. You hear that, Cabal? Good judgment that prompts right responses and right action. Thank you for your empowerment and strength, the wisdom to know what to do in any situation, the wisdom to know to avoid danger and to choose the right path. Dear God, we're grateful for life as it's unfolding in our lives and in our experiences. Lord, we're grateful to live through this historical time. We're grateful for the courage, the strength, and the vision, the stability of mind we have, to know all the things are working together for the highest good of all, even in the midst of change. Lord, we're aware that every good thing comes from you. We pray that we'll be aware of all good things and give thanks for everything we see. We do not take anything for granted, and we are filled with gratitude. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission to pray for President Trump tonight. We're grateful he's leading us through these difficult times. He's leading the storm. He's focused on his mission and his purpose as president. Lord, we're grateful you're here to reassert our sovereignty and to reform the liberal, satanic cabal that can produce a movie like The Hunt. And we pray and give thanks that you'll guide our friends, our family, and our fellow American patriots to help us and to exert their sovereignty as well. We'd be thankful, Lord, for this sovereignty, and we're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Betty and Diane, for Kimberly and Pastor Joseph and Ingrid and Christine. We're grateful for all the prayer warriors, all of you that joined us on this call tonight. And, Lord, a special note of gratitude to our longtime prayer friends who have been with us since our first call. We'll do a special thanks on Thursday. We'll celebrate our one-year anniversary, Lord. We're grateful for this year you've given us. We will not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all of our fears disappear. We are so grateful for everything you've given us. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives and the many ways in which all of us on this call are cared for and supported. Lord, thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for everything we are. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate you joining us tonight, everybody. Your time is very valuable to this cause. You are why we're here and why we pray, and we'll see you back on Thursday night. As I always close the call, hang up the phone and go give somebody a big hug. It feels great. And have a great night. We'll see you on Thursday, our one-year anniversary. Bye-bye now.